Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ today. We're glad that you have chosen to join us for this week's sermon of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene. God's Word is full of timeless truths that are relevant to our lives today. Pastor John Twitchell invites you to explore these truths with us each week.
My message this morning is a little different, and I counted after I wrote it. I went through, and Melody will verify this if you ask her later. I actually sat there and counted the number of question marks once I had written this sermon. There are 49 different question marks in here, and while they're not questions that I expect you to stand up and shout out an answer to, they are questions I'd like you to consider. And so the pacing of this morning's message will be very, very different because I'm going to pose a question and give you a couple moments to respond to it in your own mind. I want to begin this morning by asking you to go on a journey of imagination. This particular journey, some of you are going to have a lot easier time with than others, particularly those of you who have dealt with illnesses, perhaps illnesses that are fatal. You will have a very different experience on this imaginative journey than those of us who've not been confronted with those difficult words of, you have a disease. And so I want to encourage you, though, as you go on this imaginative journey, to allow your mind to imagine what it would be like for you if you went to your doctor and you learned that you had contracted an incurable fatal illness and that you had 1 month, 30 days to live. The news that none of us would like to hear upon going to the doctor's office, but I want you to imagine that that happens to you. What would you do? Who would you tell first? What sort of house cleaning would you need to do to put affairs in order? What sort of financial decisions would you need to make? Are there people, either in your family or out of your family, that you would need to reconcile with to make things right? Are there end-of-life decisions that you've been putting off making that you would need to sit down and make in a hurry? And if all of those housekeeping affair-type decisions were made, how would you live your life for the next 30 days? How would the news that you got in that doctor's office change your behaviors, your activities? What sorts of activities would you do? What sorts of habits or addictions in your life would you break so that you could live those last 30 days without that bondage? What new thing would you try for the first time that you've always wanted to do but never done before? Who are the people that you would spend time with? Are there places you've always wanted to go, you've never been, that you've always wanted to see, that you would go to? Things you've always wanted to do that you've never done? The last group of questions would be, what sort of decisions would you make during those last 30 days to help make this world a better place? Knowing that you had a limited amount of time to do something, to leave a legacy, to make your corner of the world a little bit brighter, what would you do? Are there organizations you would give money to? Is there time that you would give to a soup kitchen or another ministry? A young person that you would invest time into their life? What would you do to expand the kingdom of God that maybe previously you've just been too timid or too busy to do? All right? A little depressing, I know. It's all right. I want you to imagine, though, that at the end of these 30 days, you discover you're going to live after all. Maybe the doctor's office made a mistake. Yeah, we're all happy now, right? Maybe the doctor's office made a mistake. Maybe they discovered a cure at the last minute. Maybe you just managed to beat the odds or God intervened in a miraculous way. It doesn't matter so much why. But the point is this. You get to the end of your 30 days and you're told, never mind, you're going to live a full, happy rest of your life. Here's the important question I want you to consider now. How will you live your life now with a new lease on life? What sort of changes that you made during the last 30 days will you abandon? And which of those changes will you adopt as permanent changes in your second life, your new life? Our Old Testament lesson this morning was about the prophet Elijah who was staying with the widow at Zarephath. Now, God had already been displaying his faithfulness to Elijah during the great famine. He had led him to the Kereth Ravine, where Elijah was able to drink from the brook, where ravens would come every morning and every night. They would bring him bread, they would bring him meat, so he could eat and he could drink. And God displayed his faithfulness to Elijah there at the Kereth Ravine. But when the brook did dry up, God gave Elijah instructions. He told him to go to the town of Zarephath in Sidon, where he would meet a widow, and that widow would take care of him. He meets this widow, and the widow was just about to prepare her very last meal for her and her son. She was fully expecting that she was going to use the last bit of flour in the bin, the last bit of oil in the jug, make a cake of bread, eat the bread, and after that they would begin the long, slow journey of starving to death. But instead, Elijah shows up, meets her there at the well, and comes with a great display of God's faithfulness. Make the cake for me first, and the flour will never run dry, the oil will never run out, and the widow and her son suddenly have a new lease on life. As long as they trust God, as long as they feed Elijah first, the flour never ran out, the oil never ran dry. And instead of starving to death as they had previously expected, with maybe only a few days to live, Elijah comes along with great news. I want you to imagine for a moment, how did their lives change that day? How would it be if you had been that widow and her son? How would you choose to live your life differently now that you had a new lease on life? But that new lease on life was short-lived, wasn't it? For it wasn't long after Elijah moved in that the son became quite ill. And once again, it looked as though he might die. And in fact, he became worse and worse, and eventually the widow's son stopped breathing. Not only did this mean the end of the son's life, but it also meant that his mother, who was a widow, would no longer have anyone to care for her. She might even have to move out of her home. She would have relied upon his ability to work to provide for their needs. But the story doesn't end there with death and hopelessness. For Elijah goes and prays to God, and the son's life returns to him. And once again in this story, they are given a new lease on life. I'd like to suggest this morning that when given a new lease on life, the things that were once important no longer seem as important. Priorities shift. Perspective changes. The widow responds to this great news not by giving glory to Elijah, but she responds to this great news by giving glory to God. As though the perpetual flour and oil supply had not been enough, this is what she says: "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord from your mouth is the truth." The widow recognizes that she has received a great gift from God himself, God the giver of life. Our gospel lesson, which I'm about to read to you, in many ways is almost a mirror image of our Old Testament lesson, only this time it's not Elijah, but it is God enfleshed in human body, Jesus, who brings back the life of a widow's son. As you hear the gospel lesson today, I want you to listen carefully for the response of the crowd after this great miracle. Hear our lesson today from Luke chapter 7, verses 11 through 17. Luke chapter 7, 11 through 17. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God, saying, "A great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. The gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. They were all filled with awe and praised God, saying, "A great prophet has appeared among us. God has come to help his people." See, these people recognized that this miracle of life, this gift, was a gift directly from God, the giver of life. Once again, what had appeared to be a hopeless situation was now full of hope. Where there was once death, there was now life. Where there had been sorrow, there was now rejoicing. Where there had been weeping, there were now tears of joy and celebration. And once again, a widow and her son had been given a new lease on life. Sometimes new leases on life come in other ways than these miraculous resurrections, right? A drug addict makes it through rehabilitation and is no longer bound to their addiction. That's a new lease on life. A long-held grudge against you is released. You're forgiven. You have a chance to reconcile to an estranged family member. That is a new lease on life. Someone held hostage by debt manages by the grace of God to repay that debt or has their debt forgiven. That is a new lease on life. A criminal makes decisions while in jail to start life anew on the other side, and he's given a second chance to become a productive member of society. That is a new lease on life. And each of those individuals just listed could, by the grace of God, have joined us in the singing of our prayer chorus this morning, saying, "I will never be the same again. I can never return. I've closed the door." For when we are granted a new lease on life, we resolve to be different, to do better, to do more good, to love those around us, and to partner with God in the expansion of his kingdom. These things we do only through the grace of God and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The life transformation we experience at the hand of God enables us to wipe our slate clean, to have a fresh start. In short, God desires to give each one of his children a new lease on life. God would like to give you a new lease on life, just like he did our widows, the widow's sons, and just like he did for Saul. You remember Saul, the great persecutor of the church? Those in our preteen Sunday school class have been learning about Saul and Paul these last couple of weeks. And our New Testament lesson this morning was from Galatians chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul writes of his former life as Saul the persecutor. He uses these words, "For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me so I might preach him among the Gentiles." Well, talk about a new lease on life. Saul, once a persecutor of the church who tried to destroy the faith, now a preacher. Saul, who once stood by and watched Christians be stoned to death, encounters God on the road to Damascus, sees a bright light, is spoken to by God himself, and he is given an entirely new lease on life, complete with a new name. No longer Saul the persecutor, he's now Paul the preacher. No longer someone who oversaw the death of Christians, Paul now works to see that all people become Christians. Once a Pharisee who worked to eradicate Christianity, Paul became one of Christianity's most effective church planters, missionaries, preachers, teachers, and authors. All because God, by his amazing grace, gave Saul a clean slate, a fresh start, a new lease on life. How about you? Back to my questions this morning. How about you? Have you experienced this sort of a clean start in your life? Have you had your slate wiped clean and erased and given back to you fresh and new? Have you been given a new lease on life? Have you been born again? You see, I have bad news for you this morning. The bad news is this, that without Christ, you, like me, are dead in your sin. Just as those widow's sons could have done nothing to bring themselves back to life, without Christ, you and I are without hope. We cannot build a tower to reach to the heavens. We cannot be moral enough to somehow reach God. And you cannot, by yourself, bridge the gap between humanity and God. You see, each of us has a slate, a chalkboard, if you will, a thing that we've been allowed to draw pictures on. It's our life. We've all marked that up quite a bit, haven't we? Sometimes we've tried to draw nice pictures on our chalkboard. We've done pretty badly. And sometimes we've managed to do a good job drawing bad pictures on our chalkboard. We've used the wrong colors. We colored outside the lines. And the pictures that we've drawn sometimes don't look all that pretty. And try as we might, we're unable to wipe that slate clean. We're unable to start over again. We might like to. We might try. But there's only one person who can give us a clean slate. There's only one person who can give us a new lease on life. It is the giver of life himself, the author and perfecter of our faith. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ this morning is this. See, I said we had bad news. Now we have good news. The good news is this, that God wants to give every person, every child of God, a clean slate, a fresh start, a new lease on life. The gospel doesn't end with that story in Luke chapter 7 of Jesus bringing hope back into the life of one widow. That's just one example of Jesus giving life. That's not the be-all and end-all of the gospel message. No, the gospel continues to tell us that that very same Jesus willingly went to the cross for you and for me so he might purchase our redemption, so he might purchase the ability to give us a new lease on life. That by offering his life, he would conquer death and grave forever. That he could give us a clean slate, a fresh start, an opportunity to be born again. There are two different types of people I'd like to speak to this morning. You don't tune out if you don't fit into the group, but you fit into one group or the other. So there are two types I'd like to speak to this morning. Type A, those who have not received that free gift. Those who have not received the new start, the fresh start, the new lease on life. And the second group, those who have. If you've never received that free gift of a clean slate or a fresh start, I want to talk to you first. And I want to tell you this. No matter how badly you have messed up your life, God loves you. And God has a plan for you. You don't believe me? Go back and look at Saul. You know that Saul guy who went around killing Christians until God met him on the road to Damascus? Not only did Saul reject Jesus, he actively sought out Christ followers in order to destroy them. And when Jesus appeared to him on that road to Damascus, he said, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Jesus didn't just say, "Why are you persecuting my followers?" He said, "Why do you persecute me?" And if Jesus can give Saul a new lease on life, he can certainly do the same for you. How does this work? It's really quite simple, amazingly simple even. Do you believe that Jesus was the Son of God? Do you believe that Jesus lived a perfect life? Do you believe that you have sinned and fall short of God's plan for your life? That you've messed up your slate your picture? Do you believe that Jesus died so your sins could be forgiven? Do you believe he rose again so you can have new life? If you believe those things, all that then is required of you is to pray in your own words and confess those truths to God, to ask him to forgive you of your sins, to be your Lord and Savior, and to help you to walk in holiness. And Scripture promises us this, that when we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's like having a brand new slate to draw new pictures on. I want to tell you today that if you've never in your life consciously made that choice, I'm going to leave some moments of silence today and would just invite you to do so in the quietness of these next few moments to make that decision and to pray silently in your own words, asking God for that new slate. If you did make that choice for the first time today, I hope that you'll tell me before you leave, because I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to help you begin that new journey, that new life, your new lease on life. But before we end today, I'd like to speak to the rest of us. Those of you who have made that conscious decision to take Jesus as your Lord and Savior, who can remember a moment in time when you did precisely that and asked him to be Lord of your life. You who are currently living out your new lease on life. Back to my questions. How are you living that life? The gift that was given to you, your second chance, your new lease? Have you maintained the fire and passion that you once had? Have you held strong to the commitments you made when you became a Christian? Or have you found yourself little by little, bit by bit, slipping back to the way you were before you met the Savior? See, I would hope that none of us would simply consider that our salvation is a means to heaven. Certainly that's the result of our salvation. But it's not simply a means to heaven. We do have hope of eternal life with the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. But your salvation doesn't mean you have to wait until you die to experience the sort of new life that God has in store for you. Just as the widows and their sons were given new life, Jesus wants you to have new life in the right here and the right now. Just as Saul became the Apostle Paul, God's desire for you is that you would experience life transformation, that you would be able to honestly say and sing with us, "I will never be the same again," and that you would make good use of your new lease on life. How will you live? Will you be faithful? Will you live a holy and pure life? Will you seek to be empowered by the Holy Spirit in all that you do and every word that you say? Will you live as one whose debt has been forgiven? Will you forgive your brother as you have been forgiven? Will you live according to the law of love, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And will you love your neighbor as yourself? Will you open yourself as a vessel of God's love and grace? Will you look to see his kingdom come around and in and through you? Will you make yourself available to his Holy Spirit, no matter what he chooses to use you for? Our closing hymn today is a song of commitment. It is not a song that I ask you to sing lightly just because I'm going to say stand and sing and we're going to sing a hymn. It's a song that I would ask you to only sing if you are willing to do your best as the Spirit enables you to live according to its principles. And my prayer is that the words of this song will guide you, will guide us together as we live out our new lease on life. And before we do sing, I want to read for you the words of this song written by Gloria Gaither, that you might hear them and consider them before we stand and sing them. I then shall live as one who's been forgiven. I'll walk with joy to know my debts are paid. I know my name is clear before my Father. I am his child, and I am not afraid. So greatly pardoned, I'll forgive my brother. The law of love I gladly will obey. I then shall live as one who's learned compassion. I've been so loved that I'll risk loving too. I know how fear builds walls instead of bridges. I dare to see another's point of view. And when relationships demand commitment, then I'll be there to care and follow through. Your kingdom come, around and through and in me. Your power and glory, let them shine through me. Your hallowed name, oh, may I bear with honor, and may your living kingdom come in me. The bread of life, oh, may I share with honor, and may you feed a hungry world through me.
To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. If you have any questions or would like to learn more about how Jesus can make a difference in your life, please email Pastor John at pastorjohn@capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve him today.